Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's More Success Team Legal Shield Business Solutions conference call. We host this special call the first Monday of each month, and it's designed, especially designed to assist our associates that are interested in working the B2B aspect of Legal Shield. To introduce tonight's guest speaker, I want to go to Ada, Oklahoma. She is a $250,000 ring earner, a Millionaire Club member, and the fourth generation of our family to be involved with this business. Ms. Stephanie Moore, are you on the call?
I am here. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Randy. I'm excited to introduce I'm sorry. There was a little bit of feedback. I'm excited to introduce our guest speaker this evening for our monthly business solutions call. He's taken time out of his busy schedule to pour into us tonight. He's a $250,000 ring earner, a Millionaire Club member. He's held a positions in Legal Shield, and right now he is number one on the corporate leaderboard in production for the second week in a row. That is the entire company. He's number one for the second week in a row. So there's no one better to hear from than the number one guy out there in the trenches who has personally written almost 19,000 memberships from Alabama, my good friend, Mr. Jimmy Parrish.
Thanks, Stephanie. I appreciate that introduction. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you loud and clear, Jimmy. Excited to hear from you.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the invitation. You know, when you called and we talked last week, I said, really, August 5th? Because today was probably one of the busiest days in my Legal Shield career and in my 21st year of being in the business, because this is right in the middle of school season where we enroll a lot of schools. That's one of my biggest vertical markets. Been working schools in Alabama basically since Don Bryan got me going on those back in 2002, and we had 21 different school presentations today, and I didn't do them all, but I had a team that did, including several members of Cheryl DeGatta's team came over from Georgia because we had several things in East Alabama, and Mr. Kamal Saleem made a drive up to help me out with some schools in a rural area of Alabama. So we I feel like, you know, it's election night, and when Sue said, well, how did you do? I said, well, we're still waiting on the returns coming in from such and such a precinct because I still haven't heard from everybody yet. They're out there. But I know that, you know, already we had over 70 memberships that were written just today. And since I'm the landlord of all of these school systems, I collect rent on every one of these accounts. So some of the accounts I did myself, so I basically get 100% of those apps, but every one of the others, I'm getting 50%. And so when someone says to you from the networking side of the business, you can't leverage yourself in solutions, think again and remember this conversation when they tell you that, because I'm living proof that you can leverage yourself. And I had a great last few weeks. I did not do much at all the first part of July, and because of that, and I knew the activity that was coming up in the latter part of the month, I had to respectfully not participate in the More Success Team retreat in Phoenix. And I hated that because I felt like it was not being at a family reunion that I was supposed to be at. So I followed, and, you know, I was breaking one of the commandments, Stephanie, thou shalt not covet, because I was coveting everybody and having a good time that I wasn't able to do. But I knew what I had to do. I knew where I needed to be. And with July 4th week being a dead week for me, and then Cabo coming right after that, and, you know, we got left Cabo. It's the 16th of the month, and I still had to produce. And so, fortunately, things fell into place, and I had a good team working for me the last part of the month, and now carrying on into August, and we anticipate continued momentum moving forward. But I wanted to mainly talk tonight a little bit about something that I think can help everybody on the call, because not everybody works schools. I do, and have worked them for now, goodness, 17, 18 years, and am thankful to say that about half of the 140 public school systems in Alabama are accounts of mine, and it allows me to go in and build relationships every year with new hires, and it's a lot of work that goes into that. But what do you do? Because you're always needing to try to get new business. And so when I was thinking about, you know, the full employee benefit marketing process, I've been fortunate recently to be one of the VIP trainers, and I've been able to travel around the country 15 different locations last year, and they've added trainers this year, so I'm not going as many places. But when we've done the employee benefit certification training, we talk about the five steps to the employee benefit marketing process, those being prospecting, follow-up, decision-maker meeting, employee enrollment, and account management. And what I've tried to do over the last few years was to continue to refine my ability to open groups. And when you have 300 groups, Stephanie, you know, you kind of get lazy. You know, you say, you know, I could go out every week if, you know, I don't think I'll ever starve because there's some account somewhere I can go to any week of the year and write memberships. And that's a good place to be. But I'm always on the lookout for new groups. And when I get those opportunities from prospecting and following up, where I normally say, you know, my four favorite ways to get new groups are warm market, who do I know that owns or operates a business, follow your dollar, where are you spending your money, networking in the community, not network marketing, but networking, because we all network one way or the other, but I have done and still do a lot of networking through chambers of commerce and civic clubs, fraternal organizations, HR groups through SHRM, SHRM.org, the Society of Human Resource Management, entrepreneurial organizations, business owner roundtables, all of these types of things to pick up new business. But then I get to that point that I have my decision maker meeting. And what I've started doing and what I'm going to share in the next 15 to 20 minutes tonight is what I've been doing that's helped me double my closing ratio and getting decision makers to agree to let us come in with Legal Shield and ID Shield. And so I want to give you some of those tips tonight. Because, and I know, Stephanie, aren't these calls recorded? Or just the 8 o'clock calls recorded?
They're recorded.
Okay. Because I'm going to try not to talk my typical New Jersey Yankee fast voice tonight. But if you're taking notes, I may go a little fast for you. But since the calls are recorded, I would encourage you to go back and listen to this. Because if you really want to enhance your new group open, when you get that decision-maker appointment, I think some of these things that you might be willing to do that you're not doing now might help you increase the closing ratio. Now, keep in mind, I'm starting here with step three. I'm assuming you're going to be prospecting. I'm assuming you're going to be following up with those, because if you're not going to follow up with your prospecting, you know, what's the purpose of prospecting in the first place? And some of you have a struggle with that. I'm not teaching and training on that tonight. I'm talking about after you've got someone who said they will meet with you, sit down with you, typically in their office. What can you do? Well, if you've been to some of my trainings, you heard me train in Nashville last year at the Leaders at All Levels conference. You know, I did a 30-minute session on that, and I don't have quite 30 minutes tonight, and I'm going to add a few things since then. But I'm going to kind of hit the high points of how to win the appointment before entering the office of that decision maker. And once they commit to me to meet, what I've started doing is mailing a handwritten note. And nobody, first of all, writes notes anymore. Everything is by email. So the very thought of taking a note card and writing on it and sending it to the decision maker is just kind of it's just unheard of. And so this is just a note. I made a photocopy of this and when I did a meeting this past year, and I just said, Fred, thanks so much for agreeing to meet with me Friday afternoon, September 14th. I'm looking forward to learning about you and your company and how our benefits can help solve the problems your employees are bringing to work with them each and every day, and at no direct cost to your company. See you Friday, Jimmy Parrish. And I stuck my business card in that note. I hand-addressed the note. I put a stamp on there. I wrote my return address, and I dropped it in the mail. I try to do that 5 to 7 business days before the appointment. So first of all, it's going to make me stick out because nobody does that. Secondly, I connect with these people on LinkedIn. We talk about Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, other social media sites. Facebook is more social, but LinkedIn is considered by most business professionals as the business site. So I try to connect with them on LinkedIn, and I go on there because I want them to see my professional side. And I will study their LinkedIn site. I will look at where they went to school. I will look at some of the people that they're connected with, some of the organizations with which they affiliate. It will just help provide me with ammunition and things to discuss when I get in front of them. The third thing I'm going to do is basically email them an agenda and assign some homework, and I typically put in a couple of testimonial letters. Now, let me just stop right here and say this is what's going to stop some of you. As my grandmama used to say, this separates the sheep from the goats, because we all know how difficult it is to put a new decision maker in our pipeline, a new company there. But what's even more difficult is moving that prospect forward to a successful conclusion. Because way too many producers I've met in Legal Shield in my 20-plus years, they'll treat this decision-maker appointment with kid gloves. They take every precaution to not inconvenience that person in any manner. We don't want to ask too much of them. We don't want to be an active participant in the sales conversation. But if you're doing that, you're approaching the decision-maker, in my opinion, in the wrong way. Because you don't want to be a pest. You don't want to be a nuisance. But if your job is to help these decision makers improve their situation, as I just mentioned in my handwritten note, I've got to engage them as an active participant. And if they're not willing to participate, it's pretty much a big red flag. They're not giving you a legitimate opportunity to help them in their business. So what I do is, you know, I will connect on email typically 3 to 4 days before my appointment, and I'll just say, you know, Fred, just wanted to remind you again about our appointment this Friday, September 14th, and I've enclosed a couple of testimonial letters from some of my clients, because I'm sure you might wonder who I've worked with in the past and still work with. And if by chance you are not able to keep our appointment this Friday, please let me know so that we can reschedule. Now, some people would say, don't give them an out, Jimmy. Don't tell them they can get out of the appointment. Well, my time's valuable, and I live in Birmingham, Alabama. It's not as big as Dallas or Atlanta, but we got 1 million people in the metro area, and if I'm going from one end of town to the other, it could be 45 minutes, especially an hour, rush hour could be a full hour. I don't want to be going over there if for some reason they can't meet. Plus, psychologically, if they cancel on me, because I'm not going to cancel on them, then they owe me. And so I'll put that in that note. But what I'll also do is I try to put out for them just a brief agenda of what I want to discuss when I'm with them. Because if I'm going to ask them for 30 minutes, and I typically ask for 30 minutes of their time, then I want them to feel like it's well spent. And so I want this to be nothing really complex, but I want to be very concise and clear to just, I want to remind them of why we're meeting. And as I said before, it's to try to help them solve problems their employees are bringing to work with them each and every day. Or maybe it's, you know, uncovering another need that they might have. Maybe we've never met before, so we'll look at it as an acquainted session. But I'm not afraid of stating the purpose of the meeting, and I believe most people I've found appreciate the transparency. They appreciate the clarity. And so I want to list a few things to be discussed, as I just said, you know, about how we can help them, no cost to them, putting it out in a bullet point format. But I want to demonstrate again in advance of being with them my professionalism, because I want to be prepared. I want to show them that I'm prepared and that it's going to be a productive meeting. But what I've also started doing is asking them for them to do something and assign a little homework to bring with them. Because the goal to me of this meeting should be to determine how I can help them address their needs and achieve better results in their company. I used to remember Ken Mort talking a lot about what do we do in this business. He said, we're problem solvers. And that's exactly right. Because I'm there to help solve a problem. When someone asks me, what do you do, Jimmy? I say, I help business owners solve problems because I want them to engage and to find out more about what I do. So I'm giving them an assignment to define what they want to accomplish over the next year or two. And I may ask them some combination of these three questions. Mr. Business Owner, Fred, in the case of the illustration I'm giving you now, you know, what are some significant goals you would like to accomplish in your business? Or maybe in your HR benefit program, or your risk management program over the next couple of years. Because I want to tie in the legal and the identity theft coverage as far as what they're doing. So when I talk about goals that they want to accomplish, I want to zero it out to the business owner. I want to talk about the full business. If I'm meeting with the head of HR, the benefits manager, I'll talk about HR benefit program. If it's obviously they're all concerned about identity theft, so the risk management program touches on that. A second question might be, what are three things that you're doing now that makes you think that that can happen, that makes that they can reach those goals? And the third question would be, what are three things you need to change or start doing in order to make that happen? So I know you say, well, you know, Jimmy, I don't know that I can do that. Well, you know, I remember someone saying many times before, successful people do what unsuccessful people are not willing to do. And I could spend a whole training talking about being the exception, because I think more than anything else, what's made me stand out and maybe reach some of the thresholds that I've reached in B2B Solutions and Legal Shield and accomplishing the things I've accomplished in my 20-plus years is being willing to do some things that the vast majority of people that are calling on this person named Fred will never do. Because I want to, them to think when I get to their office, I am really looking forward to meeting Jimmy Parrish. Nobody has ever sent me a note, connected me on LinkedIn, sent me an agenda, what they want to accomplish, asked me these questions, because you'll be shocked at how much information these people will provide you before you ever meet. You know, they're going to tell you the goals you can help them meet. They'll tell you maybe what's broken in their current job situation with their company and how you can help them fix it. You're delivering value before you even meet, if they can respond and answer those kind of questions. And so I get in there before then. After I do that, I try, number four, to Google them, and number five, research their website. I try to find out everything I know about them so that when I get in there, if we don't know each other, I'll start playing off the notes because I try to arrive early. I want to get there at least 10, 12 minutes early, not to look over Facebook or look over my emails, but I made notes. I have typed up an agenda. It's specific to that business on that day. It has that already put on that particular agenda. If you've been to employee benefit certification training, you know that your trainer has talked about that. And in that agenda, I list all the things that we do, you know, what Legal Shield does. So I don't even have to remember everything. Now, I know it because I've been doing it, and I've shared, you know, those presentations hundreds of times. But if I can point and read, you know, I can do that because I'm going to ask questions leading them down the road where the answer to those questions is going to lead them to offer Legal Shield and ID Shield to their employees, even talk about with this day and age of identity theft and Equifax data settlement now in the news and the Capital One breach, maybe even talk to them about paying for this. I've got a huge appointment tomorrow of one of my accounts that reached out to me and said, will you prepare something for us? We're going to have our management team on the call, and we're thinking of paying for ID Shield for 400 employees. Can you present something to us tomorrow afternoon? I said, let me pray about it. Sure. You better believe I can. And I'm going to do that, and maybe that'll be something that I get, but if not, I've got the opportunity tomorrow. So I have already been getting the things that I'm telling you to do. That's what I've been doing, and I know these people. I've been working with them for several years, but they are running scared right now because it's a public entity. And they want to know what they can do to protect their information. So I brought in someone else that does cybersecurity training. But I'm the point person. They're looking to me for the solutions. And so I'm bringing in other individuals that are helping along those lines. But back to this, you know, I want to get in there. I want to get to know them. I share some things. I may talk about where they went to school. We may talk about college football because I can spend an hour and a half talking about college football or college sports. But we'll get to know each other. And then in that, I'll say, you know, Fred, I apologize. I said we take 30 minutes. I've spent 15 minutes just getting to know you. And he said, hey, Jimmy, don't worry about it. We're not pushed. But I'm building those relationships. That's what this business is all about, building relationships. And so at the conclusion of our meeting, hopefully he's made the decision to move forward. But whatever it is, I want to do my sixth and final point, and that is send a summary email. So don't let all your good work and conversations go to waste. I know how important the conversations are to us and how convinced we all are of our importance to that decision maker. And yeah, they are important to it, but don't you ever think they're going to remember the details of the meeting like you do. In fact, not only will they not remember the details, they will have forgotten a majority of what we've discussed and you've discussed with them within a day or two. We cannot let that happen. And so normally the very same day, no later than the next day, because I'm getting old and a little more forgetful now, I will follow up with a very clear and concise email. This time, instead of it being an agenda of what will be discussed, I summarize the key points of what was just discussed in that meeting, highlighting the key moments of the meeting, specifically the needs that we identified together. I want to remind the decision maker of the significance of addressing those needs and how they can be negatively impacted in their operation of their business and or financially if these needs are not addressed, such as, how are you handling, you know, if you don't do something, you know, your debt collection, because I want to, if it's under 100 employees, I want to talk about the small business plan and deal with debt collection situations there. If they have fleets of vehicles, I want to talk about the problems it may create operationally if the drivers of those fleets of vehicles get speeding tickets, or if individuals are impacted by the Equifax data breach or Capital One, the amount of work time for these people particularly their executives, that they have to take to deal with these identity theft issues. And sometimes now, if you haven't done it, you need to go to EquifaxBreachSettlement.com, which I did today in some of my schools, and I was able to show those individuals on the Equifax site by typing in their last name and the last six digits of their social, how they were impacted. I let Equifax today help me sell several school teachers because I had my computer right there and were able to do that. And so the last thing I do is I remind them of the next step. So what's the next steps agenda that we agreed to? What's the timing of those? What am I going to be responsible for doing? What is the decision maker going to be responsible for doing? And so we've got a clear and concise way to move forward. And not only, ladies and gentlemen, are they going to appreciate the summary of the meeting, but this follow-up email is going to help keep the conversation clear in their mind and clear to you. I had a meeting with an associate in my local market over the weekend. Some of you may have seen in the associate newsletter yesterday, Mr. David Cruckleton in Alabama is our newest $100,000 ring earner. Well, David's been one of the best people working my accounts. Unfortunately, I didn't recruit him, so he's not on the More Success team, but he does a great job of working my accounts and doing the work and getting invited back. And I won't know this for a fact, but my guess is over half the money he earned for that $100,000 ring were commissions he received off of working some of my 300 groups. And so what helped me was we went back and looked at a lot of things. And he and I met for about 2 hours Saturday afternoon to game plan some things because he's working some of my schools for me this month. And I do this with him. I summarize all the meetings, and I had all that, so I was able to outline that. I keep electronic files of that because I can be forgetful. And if you're not that good at details and what I call administrivia, you need to do that too. Because, you know, it's not rocket science. I mean, it doesn't take too much to stand above your competition because most of the people you're calling on for companies, any other type of industry or whoever else is calling on them to try to sell them services or to meet with them, nobody's going to do these six steps that I just talked about. But by simply communicating with the decision makers, folks, consistently and professionally, not only before the meeting, during the meeting, and after each of those decision maker meetings, you're going to help them be more engaged with that conversation. And if as they become more engaged on their part, there's more confidence with them in what you and Legal Shield and ID Shield can do for them. And with them having more confidence in you and your ability to deliver what you say you will do, to help them solve problems that their employees are bringing to work, you're going to find them more willing to move forward to a conclusion that ends in your favor, which means you just picked up a brand new account. So, Stephanie, I'm going to turn it back over to you in case there's time for any questions, but I appreciate the opportunity to share tonight, and hopefully a couple of nuggets may have fallen on some fertile ground, and you guys will go out and use these next 5 months to close out 2019 strong and opening new accounts with some of the new incentives that have been rolled out this month.
That was fantastic information you shared with us tonight, Jimmy. Thank you so much. I know you took the time out of your busy schedule, and I appreciate it. And thank you for leading us this evening. And this is just a prime example why it's so important to be on these monthly business solution calls, because everyone hears from the best and learn how those that are out in the trenches are achieving their success. Again, congratulations on being number one for the second week in a row. I'm sure you're probably going to be leading it for the next few weeks according to your schedule that you have there.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, you shoot for the stars, but if you know, if you shoot for the moon, but if you miss, if you land among the stars, you know, I like being in those zip codes, whether I'm number one or not. It's nice to be up there, and I'm thankful for, you know, what people like Don Bryan and others, Ken Moore, and of course, you and Jeremy and Randy and Pat and all the Moore team have done to help me get to where I am. And it's nice to be able to do that and to be able to look back, and but as well as look forward, because, you know, we're still not through. There's a lot of people still that need our services and our memberships.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And we appreciate you so much, and thank you for your leadership. And look forward to seeing your number one next week as well.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to remind everyone of the upcoming networking call this evening. It's going to be 8 p.m. Central, so be ready to dial back in about 20, 30 minutes from now so you can announce yourself and hear from two more success team leaders whose teams are exploding, and that's Mr. Brandon San Diego and Jeff Hughes. And so I'm excited to hear you all on the next call. God bless. Good night.